Hello and welcome to another episode of Just Thinking. I'm your host, Kevin Doherty, and we are in the lovely downtown studios of Market Scale in Dallas, Texas. And today I have two friends with me. We've been working together on a really exciting project around something called NeuroPoints. But before we get into that, I would like to have them introduce themselves to you. But I'll just mention I have Jared McClure and Dr. David Hierley. So Jared, just tell us a little bit about yourself, and then David, you can take it from there.
Great. Well, Kevin, I've been working as a business developer for about the last 20 years, and most recently, probably over the last five, I've been involved in systems and AI technologies.
Yeah, and I started long ago in education out in Oakland, California, and got very interested in the whole field of cognitive development, and then cognitive science, and then interested in cognitive neuroscience. So how to bring that into the classroom in very practical ways, and usually with the vehicle of visual tools. So that's my basic background that's brought us to this.
So this NeuroPoints is your brainchild, if you will.
Yeah, I'd say it was highly collaborative and developed over many years and drawn from a lot of different people's research, from Piaget all the way up through the cognitive scientists who really looked at what are those fundamental processes. And NeuroPoints is a combination of what we know about cognitive science and to a certain degree about what we know about how the brain works and how the mind works, and then how to make that practical in the classroom. So basically, a cognitive code. NeuroPoints is a cognitive code of five visual tools that work together in an integrated way that students learn, teachers learn, and can be used across grade levels, disciplines.
And when you met Jared, the conversation began around combining NeuroPoints with an AI solution?
Yeah, absolutely. When I saw it, David's work looks very much like a neural network does in AI. Right. And I just said, this is the key that is missing in the AI space. Because AI, when it was built, wasn't an intentional decision was made not to put in bias. And so it's basically a glorified pattern recognition tool. That's how most AI works,
right?
Is that you can go through and identify patterns. And so, if you will, AI is almost a kind of a guess what's in my head solution. When you're typing in a prompt, it is searching the internet and then using its vast database to anticipate that most likely what you're asking is X,
right,
when you might be asking Y,
right.
But it's just using math to come in. And that's why also we're seeing sometimes answers that are not necessarily
right.
True, or
right.
Maybe that are fabricated by somebody else, or it's just coming up with whatever it can find to produce for you. And so my interest really with NeuroPoints was being able to come in and say, we can actually add a cognitive, human intelligent element to AI to drive some of these systems.
Wow, that's powerful. So you, I'm sure, are no stranger to the fact that AI is causing some apprehension, maybe even a little bit of fear in the hearts and minds of educators. So speak to us a little bit about the challenges as you hear them voiced, and then also the opportunities that you see present.
Yeah, it seems like any conference where AI, a teaching conference where AI is listed, those rooms are packed right now because
yes.
It is very much a concern. It's weighing on the minds of teachers and educators everywhere. For me, I think mostly it revolves around two things. How do we stop student cheating? And, you know, God forbid, is AI going to come and take my job eventually and just replace me entirely? Kind of like a Star Trek style approach to education. I think both of those concerns can be waylaid as we really understand how AI can be utilized as a tool. Similar to how a calculator was maybe originally pushed away in a math class,
sure.
AI is being pushed away right now because I don't think we're using it in a proper way. We're seeing it too much as a shortcut, which it is, but if we will just shift our focus a little bit in the way that we are utilizing it, we can see that it can really be of great benefit in any industry. Education and business,
yeah.
Doesn't really matter what it is. And NeuroPoints, I think, is a great key and vehicle for teachers to embrace that philosophy.
So let's expand a little bit more on that vision that you have for the combination of NeuroPoints and AI in schools and districts. How do you see that playing out in a very positive and impactful way?
Yeah, I think so much time has been spent on assessing the outputted content mm-hmm. that students produce yes. that we forget that the thinking always precedes the content. And if we will put our focus back on assessing the thinking, now there's really no concern about AI cheating, because how is AI going to come and produce the thinking for you? Or at least in the way that NeuroPoints as a language could provide that. If we allow students to come in and map out visually what their thinking includes, now we can structure our rubrics, even from a teaching rubric, and compare thinking style to thinking style. Mm. Maybe there's some gaps that are there. We're not looking at, here's the final outputted content of an essay or a paragraph that is being written or something magically that was produced by ChatGPT last minute at 11:59 before the deadline was due. Instead, we really do have thinkers that are engaging and participating in that. So it's just kind of shifting. It's not shifting the goalposts, but it's shifting the methodology to arrive at the desired outcome, which is we want students to be able to think. And thinking will produce the content that we have typically and traditionally used to gauge their evaluation.
Sort of why when I was an elementary math teacher, I asked students to show their work.
Yes,
right?
Very much so.
So, David, what are your thoughts on NeuroPoints and how that will help to ease the minds and,
yeah.
and spirits
around
this?
Yeah, I mean, I really like what Jared was just saying about assessment. And we've talked about this before, the idea that what teachers really want is they want to have the content. They want to have that, in a sense, that students understand it and can integrate it, but they're most interested in the thinking. So I've called this bifocal assessment. So you're able to look underneath and say, just like you said, show your thinking, to see the thinking as it's developing,
right.
Not just in the end product of student work. So NeuroPoints I see as basically a way to visualize the thinking in these cognitive patterns in a way that's accessible. When I first developed, I was saying, what would it look like to have a very sort of simple, not simplistic, but a simple language that's based on how the brain actually works, which is with nodes and neural pathways creating neural networks. And that is exactly what NeuroPoints does, but based on human processes of things like sequencing, cause and effect reasoning, comparatives, identifying characteristics, you know, looking at the context of a situation. So these processes are across the disciplines. What if we had a visual language, a cognitive code, for surfacing this in a very easy way that a preschooler all the way up through us as we're thinking in our day-to-day lives do?
Yeah, I think a language is repeatable. You know, we talk about computer languages because we're able to produce things. And NeuroPoints as the language of thought allows us to, as a language, plug right into digital space.
Yeah.
And that's super exciting. Yes. The opportunities that are available because we now have a computer language for thinking.
Yes.
That can be mapped directly from any individual. You don't have to be a computer scientist to map out your thinking.
Right.
You learn this very, I would say simple to learn language because it's pattern recognition and development. You understand where those components are placed within the NeuroPoints.
Yeah.
And now you have the ability to input that into digital space. That's pretty exciting.
That's very exciting.
You know, can I also add, it's something that's got me thinking about the idea of language. We have a lot of second language learners.
Yes.
And we have a lot of students who are not very good at writing.
Yes.
And some that are not very good at speaking, like they're shy or the oral language. One of the things, and it's somewhat radical to say, that sometimes writing and speaking gets in the way of our best thinking. Because it's having to create, like with writing, a linear format. Well, with NeuroPoints, it provides an opportunity for second language learners and any learner to be able to show their thinking without having to put together purely grammatically correct sentences, one stacked on top of the other. So one of the things that I see a great benefit in, and it goes back to the idea of a language, is just that. It's a language that goes across our spoken and written languages and supports that, and mathematical languages as well.
Wow. As someone who's a former principal of bilingual campuses and mostly served students for whom English was not their first language, thank you, David. That is incredibly powerful, because I can't tell you how frustrated I would become sometimes when I knew students had the cognitive capabilities, but they just couldn't demonstrate it, and therefore assumptions were made about their ability to think and their ability to learn information.
Yeah, and Jared, I think your point about that is what we're assessing. We assess students' abilities based on their writing or they're speaking, and if they're not fluent with those ways of representing what they know,
yes,
or how they know, we are totally undervaluing their capacities, and we can't even build on that. So we focus on the writing and the speaking to a detriment if we're not focused on the thinking.
And to the detriment, we might very well be lumping them into a category
because
they're underassessed. And now when we talk about equity and inclusion, what have we done intentionally with our own assessment tools?
Right.
We have relegated them by design in the system.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's unfortunate.
Well, I shared the story with you before of my daughter who missed on a math test, a state math test, passing this test by one question, and that put her in the lower track
in another category
the rest of her career, right? Yeah. And there wasn't anything I could do to change that. The system was set.
Let me just add, too.
Yeah,
I think that's really key, that the tracking system, what happens is that, and it's been well documented, is that once you're put into a track, the teaching goes at a lower level because, not because of the teachers, because we have to get the basic skill level this much more forward before we can ask higher order questions. So it actually, it just levels the playing field in a way that levels out the playing field, I should say, in a way that is detrimental, that kids stay in tracks for the rest of their lives because their thinking hasn't been mediated.
I've witnessed that more times than I want to remember. So how do you propose making the vision a reality using NeuroPoints and the accompanying AI solution?
Kevin, I think you need to understand that there has to be a paradigm shift in the culture of the way that we view education.
Okay.
We are very much, here's a tool, we're going to push this on you. We need to treat students as agents who can think for themselves to encourage that thinking, as opposed to objects upon which we are pushing content. If we will make that fundamental change with NeuroPoints as a vehicle, we're going to encourage thinking to take place and very creative conversations. If you will actually sit down in a classroom of students and ask them questions about what they think, number one, they're going to engage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially if it's a topic upon which they are excited.
Right.
Ask them something about TikTok. Every one of them is going to talk to you, right? If teachers can be wise enough to encourage discussion where you have students who will think and then extrapolate that thinking as part of their assessment evaluations, now you're going to see rapid change in the outcomes because students will be engaged in thinking. They'll understand how they can think, maybe why they should think those things as well. The NeuroPoints encourage them to understand why maybe you would want to think like this, and can also add some emotional intelligence to them as well by seeing the thinking of others. Oh, I didn't think about that in that way, and I can see,
and open-mindedness.
I can see now what your thinking is.
So we can address empathy as well.
Absolutely.
Powerful.
Yeah, you know that phrase, I mentioned it before, I see what you mean. That really is, I understand you, and I've been listening to you, but now I see your thinking, and that's what NeuroPoints does with the visual patterning.
It's a notation for thinking. That phrase, I see what you mean, how long does it take sometimes in a conversation to get to that point? And with NeuroPoints, I want to just say, here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, okay, I speak the language, I understand it, I know exactly what you're thinking now.
Yeah.
How will this better prepare students for the workforce?
Great question, because this is a skill set that moves all the way up into career. As a business owner, I have interviewed a lot of people, and one of the big challenges, every employer wants somebody who can think critically.
Right.
But what I found, especially over time, is that I will have employees that just go, well, this broke, and I'll say, after 2 days of it being broken, well, why didn't you fix that? I don't know. I didn't know that maybe that I could. And I say, is this a result of education? Is this a result of our culture? What? And that's not to wag a finger at anybody, right?
Right.
Those
sure.
are the questions that
yeah,
I start to
exactly.
ask. What I'm saying, how is all of a sudden this generation not wanting to engage in thinking of a solution? I think there is a pivotal point that we should address as educators, is coming in and saying, if we will present solutions that require thinking to students and say, either discover what the problem is, or the inverse, here's a problem, provide the solution.
Yes.
Yes. What a powerful opportunity then for them to engage in that practice of thinking.
And I was also thinking in the workplace, let's say you're in a job, you're in a company, and you need to collaborate with others. So you have to, the best kind of problem solving is collaborative problem solving, when you can share ideas, and that's what NeuroPoints does. And then you, if you're going to another job or another one or the dozen jobs that our students will have over their careers, how adaptive are you in moving into it? So they could be in Jared's business one day and 2 years later in another business and another. And so the adaptability is, I think, is really key. Creative and analytic thinking put together with how do you actually solve problems.
Employers want people that solve problems. And so, you know, to your earlier question, to really kind of get to the root of it, employers want people who can think. And so it makes perfect sense at the educational level that we produce new people into the workforce that know how to think. NeuroPoints is a language that can be used in the classroom, but well after as well. Can you imagine a certification where an employer could say, oh, I see that you're NeuroPoints certified here. Fantastic. So there are applications for CTE. There are applications for resume management. There's a lot of opportunities, plus just the ability to plug this same language into AI in future career paths. There are a lot of opportunities that NeuroPoints facilitates.
Well, guys, we are coming to the end of our time together for this particular episode, but I never end an episode without first asking you, is there anything else about which you're just thinking that I didn't give you the opportunity to address? So, Jared, what are you just thinking?
I just think this was a great time to be together. I love the space, and I love the opportunity to engage in these conversations.
Glad you were a part of it. Thank you.
And I was just thinking about my son, who is now in his early 30s, who became almost chef level in his work and now is a carpenter. And he basically ran a vegetable farm, a produce farm, and how he is moving through all these different places, and he's constantly learning and improving his abilities to think through problems in each of those areas. So I think that idea about workforce and being able to move and be adaptive is key.
Love it. Great note on which to end. Guys, thank you for being part of
Just Thinking. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Appreciate it.
Awesome.